Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to today's message.
But as we get closer to Christmas, I want to just kind of head that way. Let's just head towards Christmas together this morning. Amen. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be doing that. So this morning, I want to start in Luke chapter 2. But not commonly where we would start in Luke chapter 2 to talk about the birth of Christ. I want to go just a little bit after Jesus is born. And it's an interaction between Jesus as a baby and a guy named Simeon. And the title this morning I want to share with you is Prepare to Celebrate. Prepare to Celebrate. And it starts in Luke chapter 2 from verse 22. It says, "Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." And Christ just means anointed flesh, by the way. I just want to share that with you. That's free today. "So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the Lord or brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against, yes, a sword will be piercing through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" Simeon is this guy, and he's had this promise from the Lord, and it says that the Holy Spirit was upon him. And I want to talk to you this morning about being prepared to celebrate. As we get closer to Christmas and as we get through the holidays, there's this desire to celebrate, and Christmas and everything that it has to come with it. And those are many things, but we must be prepared individually to celebrate Jesus in our own life as we get closer to Christmas. Amen. And it says here that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, that he was a man that was just and devout, and that the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed to him that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and I want to let you know that he was waiting for the promise. And that word wait, when it says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, I'm going to try it. It's prostekomia. Okay, close. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right at all. I did not write it down phonetically. I should have. So if I'm saying it wrong, pardon me, please. That's a kicker from last week, but we'll talk about the turkey later. It means to look for to look for with a view of favorable reception. That you're looking for something, that waiting word is that I'm looking for something with a favorable reception that's on its way, right? And my first point I want to talk about this morning is prepare. Prepare, that the Lord would prepare us for this season. And then Isaiah 40 and Mark chapter 1, the word prepare is used quite a bit. And as I was preparing this message, has anyone seen Godspell, the musical? No? My dad in high school, when he was in high school, they did Godspell. So I know all of the songs. And one of them is John the Baptist, and he's walking around, he's going, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Do-do-do-do, prepare. Yeah, no. It's like on repeat sometimes. It just kind of pops in. And as I was saying, Lord, prepare us for Christmas. How do you want us to prepare for Christmas? How do you want us to get ready? And all I could hear is prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. So let's look at Isaiah 40 real quick. It says, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and all his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Prepare the way. Make the way straight in the desert, a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain will be brought low. There is a preparation that happens in our life that, let's look at what John says. And John quotes out of Isaiah 40, John the Baptist, it says, and my Bible had the header, John the Baptist prepares the way. And Mark chapter 1, it says, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and he preach, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In our preparation for this season, we must make the ways straight. We must remove the obstacles in our life that can get in the way of Jesus during this season. I'm not saying it's all bad. I'm not saying any of it really is bad. Do all of the Christmas that you can. Buy the gifts, do the traditions, be with your family, but don't let those things overarch and cover the joy of the Lord in this season. We must allow God to take the bendy ways, the crooked ways, and make them straight. That the places in our life that are low, the valleys, that they would be risen up. That the places that are too high, that they would be brought low. What does that look like for us? This season can be so busy. There are some people that just never got Christmas. There are people in our communities that just, they don't get it, they don't have it, they don't have much to give, but and then what they have, they don't have the hope that you and I have. So those would be valleys that the Lord would have to rise up. There may be people in your life that are no longer in your life, whether there's distance between you or there's people that have passed away or there's strife or in a relationship or something. Those can be deep valleys that hurt during this time of the year. The Lord says that he will take those valleys and he will rise them up. And then there's also areas where it's too high. The mountains and the hills of our life where we put these things in front of us and say, look how great this is. Just charge it, right? Put it on the card. I don't recommend that. Be a good steward. Give within your means and receive within the means of those who are giving to you this season. That's just free, but it will help you get through this season. Amen. And when we can freely give and freely receive, we're operating as God calls us to operate. So no matter where we're at this year, this preparation must happen first in ourselves and then in our families, and then it can affect our communities. We must prepare a place for Jesus this season, removing the obstacles, trusting and knowing that Jesus is on his way. And this season can be highlighted by loss and hardships and lack and drought and tough times and lonely times. First, Jesus is near to you. He is near to you. He loves you. He cares for you. He will provide for you. Also, your church is here for you. This is when we get to show up and show out in the common vernacular. This is when God gets to use us in these seasons to be able to show his love to our community. Amen? You all put on a giant nativity in front of hundreds, maybe thousands of people on Main Street. It's no small thing. We're impacting our community with the light and love of Jesus. Amen? So we first must prepare a place in our heart for God this season. Prepare a place for Jesus to be born, right? It says also in the Christmas account, and we'll go through it with the birth of Jesus, that probably later, but that there was no room for them in the inn, that Jesus had to be born in like an outside barn place because there was no room for him. Will you make room for Jesus this Christmas season? Prepare the way, Lord Jesus, that you would prepare our hearts to receive Jesus this year. Amen? Point number two, hope. 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 Proverbs 13:12, you heard me say it before. I've said it a couple times. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Wow. That sums it up, right? Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. And the hope that we have, right, I share that people that we may know may not have the hope of Jesus that we have. But Hebrews 6 says that when God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself saying, surely blessing I will bless you and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them, an end to all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to their heirs of promise this immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. There's that word again. We've mentioned consolation. That's what Simeon was holding on for. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold the hope set before us. So there's this consolation, this reward, this way that can be made only by Jesus, that we can be saved of our sins. And then Hebrews 6 continues and it says that this hope this hope that we have and this consolation that Simeon was waiting for in the temple, this consolation that only Jesus could bring, this hope we have as an anchor for our soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. Remember, this is the book of Hebrews, so the writer is talking to the Hebrew people, so they would have known that in the temple there was this veil that was in the inner part of the temple, and it was the Holy of Holies, and that this hope enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus having become the high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Right? So the writer is just kind of shoring up the Hebrew believers to say, this is where Jesus plays, and this is who he is, and he is now our high priest, because the Levites in the Old Testament would operate as the priests that would go in to the Holy of Holies. It was only those who could go into the Holy of Holies were the Levites, the priests of the nation of Israel, could go into that place. And what the writer is saying is that Jesus is our high priest. He goes before us. He entered into the presence of God. He was completely man and completely God. And that hope that we have in Jesus is firm and secure. I wrote here, what of a promise? What of a promise? Have you ever had a promise told to you before? Oh, I promise I'll be there. I promise this is going to work out. I promise you're going to get that thing. And then it didn't happen. Broken promises is just hope deferred, right? A promise is to assure someone that one will definitely do, give, or arrange something, undertake or declare that something will happen, or give good grounds for expecting a particular occurrence or situation. So that hope that we put into promises sometimes can fall flat, because we put our hope and our trust in other people, family members, broken, hurt people like we are. So when things fall through, we feel crushed because our hope is not in the Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying? So we must put our hope in Jesus this season. This idea of a promise is also likened to leading one to expect, right? Have you ever been led on to expect something and it not happen? Don't lead me on. Don't tell me it's going to happen. It's not going to happen, right? We get all defensive. Is that just the New Yorker in me? You know, I don't trust nobody, just by default. I love y'all, but I don't trust nobody. You know what I mean? It's just like, why is your guard up? What do you mean? You know, have you ever gone not in New York, maybe south a little bit? You're like, why is everybody so nice? You know? This. Something is afoot. You know what I mean? Like you're like, what is going on here? There is something going on here. These people can't be this nice. You know, like, who are we to defer the promise before it shows up? It was a timely sip of water, wasn't it? Likened to leading one to expect. Don't lead me on, Lord. Don't touch that thing that I would really want, that my sins could be forgiven, that my relationships could be made whole, that I could be in right standing with you, that I could operate in love and joy and peace and grace. And don't tell me I can do that and not actually get me there, Lord. He won't. He won't. There's a song, it's fairly new. He won't fail. He won't. Numbers 23 says it this way: God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? We're so quick to put our defenses up. Don't look at me. Nope. Done. I'll distance myself. Enough. How far is enough? Enough is enough. And what we do during the season is we distance ourselves to show face sometimes. Because there are things in our life that we want to receive and hope that we have, and everyone's so happy and joyful. And why are they so happy and joyful when I am crumbling inside? Why? But God is not a man that he would lie, nor a son of man that he would need to repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Man, just hold on to that. Has he not said, and will he not do? You say that enough times, you start going back. What did I just say? Has he not said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Will he not make it good? Isaiah 55 says this too, right? Because we say, what are the promises of God then? If God doesn't lie, and he doesn't need to repent, and he said what he said, and he will do what he will do, and he's spoken, and will he not make it good? What are those things then? It is his word, the promises in his word. Because Isaiah 55 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It will not return to me void. But it shall accomplish what I please, says the Lord. Not what we please. That's a separator. That could be something different. I recommend you take your desires and align them with the word of God. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God will prosper his word inside of you. And the word became flesh, and it dwelt among us, and it was Jesus. God will back up your hope. God, you have a guarantee of hope in God. Signed, sealed, delivered. 100% guarantee. You've just got to play it out. That's our opportunity. What do you mean is our opportunity? So what do I do with this? I have hope and I have to prepare my heart. And now how do I do this? I'm glad you asked. I really am. Because when we look at Simeon, we can see that he had a promise. And the Holy Spirit was on him, and he was ready to receive. He was prepared to celebrate. What? The salvation of the Lord. Let's stay in Isaiah 40 for a moment. Let's just go a little bit further. Isaiah 40 from verse 27 says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? And my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. He doesn't faint and he's not weary. Your guarantee is not with a God who will sleep on you. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. I remember reading that as a young man going, I don't want to fall. How do I not fall? How do we, as Christians, not fall? Falling would be not putting our hope, not preparing a place, not trusting God. Verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Again, that word wait. To look for with a view of favorable reception. as I was preparing, I was looking at it this way. We must wait with strength. Wait with strength. There is an anticipation that we must wait with. There is a strength that will come upon us when we wait. Again, with Simeon, it said that the Holy Spirit was on him. We have a connection with the power of the Holy Spirit. You need that connection. Once you have that connection, you will never be the same. And God will light things up in you and around you to show you what he's working out for you. If Simeon did not have that connection with the Holy Spirit, he would have missed Jesus. We must be connected to the Holy Spirit so he can show us. The Holy Spirit, Jesus would say, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send back a helper, a paraclete, one who will help you. I have to go because he has to come. Let the Holy Spirit move in your life. Put the time in prayer. Put the time in. Ask for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's like marinating in the Holy Spirit. We should be doing that this season. Dunk yourself. Baptize yourself. Be completely saturated with the Holy Spirit this season. Why? Because it brings on a sense of anticipation. A sense of anticipation of, God, what are you going to do? God, you've shown me this in your word. You've shown me this in prayer. You've shown me this in my worship time. You've shown me this in my devotional time. You've shown me this for our family when we pray together. You've shown me this on my ride to work as I was worshiping you. You've shown me this when I spend time with you. You've shown me this as I've been in the secret. Jesus would say, those who go before the Lord in secret, he will reward you openly. Are you spending time in the secret so that that Jesus can reward you openly? Anticipate means to look forward to, regard as probable, expect, guess, or be aware of what will happen and take action in order to be prepared. I really like that last one. Be aware of what will happen and take action in order to be prepared. In all of the busyness and all of the shifting of all of the messages of the season and all the things that are going on in this world, we must be aware of what will happen and take action in order to be prepared to receive Jesus this year. To thank God for what he's done this year. To receive the gift of Jesus born in our hearts this year. We have to be in the right place. Simeon was at the temple. What are the opportunities that God is putting in front of you that you must anticipate for? Because Simeon was anticipating that there was going to be, he knew that he had a promise, and he knew that he could be aware of what was going to happen and took action in order to be prepared. So he went to the temple. He was in the right place. You are in church this morning. Let me tell you, you're in the right place. Our anticipation is by walking out the daily disciplines of our faith, reading our Bible, going to church, serving our community, serving in church, serving our family. Those are all actions of anticipation. It may seem regular. It may seem mundane. It may seem like, oh, we're going to do this again. No. Let me tell you, you are anticipating for what God is going to do. Put on a spirit and an action of anticipation to be ready for what Jesus wants to do in you this season. We must trust. We must be steadfast. We must be resolute. Being led by the Spirit, God told Simeon that he would see the Christ, the anointed flesh, by prayer, by the word, and being connected with God. Hope is simply this, waiting with anticipation. Let us prepare our hearts in hope this season to receive all that Jesus has for us. Amen.